Welcome to another edition of the Indie Investor Speakeasy.
Got the crew back.
Yeah. Got the full crew back this week. I think we'll hopefully be unveiling the new studio or where we'll be recording soon, hopefully. Knock on wood.
Yeah. If all the electrical goes properly.
It'll be at Nick's building an awesome little speakeasy style in his studio / office. So hopefully that's done here soon and that'd be awesome. I think, what are we calling it? The Water Bowl?
Yep, the Water Bowl. Just in the off-leash brand, we decided we needed to come up with something a little bit on brand there. And so, yeah, the Water Bowl, it's coming together and hopefully a little bit more permanent home.
Yeah. Can I have a couple of you guys listening? Come in to do a podcast there or stop in. Maybe we'll do a networking.
Oh, yeah.
Show it off.
It's definitely in the plans to do events there and try and bring the community together a little bit.
We're gonna talk a little bit about property management today, everyone's favorite topic here and there. I mean, they are some of the most essential people, obviously, for you, especially if you're not in the area where you invest. Probably your most important. They're kind of on the ground. They can kind of do everything if you want them to. They can kind of just do the management side if you want them to do.
Yeah.
So we're kind of going to go over some horror stories, what to look for before you get to that point, when you're interviewing them, what should you be looking for, and kind of how they make money and on their side of the business, and kind of having a little empathy on their side because they are the bad guy. So we'll start with Nick since he's probably had the worst of it all. So
yeah.
we'll start with you wherever you want to start with that.
Yeah. Let's, I probably
You've seen every side of it.
Yeah. And stop me if I just go on a monologue here for a while and you guys can interject. I think what's important to start with is what a property manager is. This is somebody who, at least in Indiana, I don't know about other states, definitely California as well. They must be a licensed agent for a long-term property management. Short-term, completely different scenario. They don't need to be an agent. But this is somebody who must be an agent and essentially is responsible for your property. You kind of hand over agency of your property and say, hey, you rent this out. You come to an agreement with them. Yeah, this is how much you will make if you rent the place. This is how much you will make on a monthly basis based on usually based on rent collected, not always, but usually based on rent collected. This is how much you're allowed to charge for markup on maintenance items that might exist.
Yep.
Trip visits, all of those things. There are a variety of things that they use in order to make their income. And for that, they deal with the tenants. They deal with coordinating the maintenance. They deal with collecting the rent. All
the phone calls, that stuff. Yeah.
My God, I did not realize how many phone calls these guys got until I started doing maintenance for property managers. I do not envy the life of a property manager because, the day that you sign that contract with the property manager, you're thrilled. You're so happy. The day that that tenant signs the contract to move into that house, they are so excited. That's the last day that you have a happy call with your property manager. because after that point, if a tenant is reaching out to the property manager, it's because something's wrong with their home.
Yeah.
If the property manager is reaching out to the tenant, it's usually because they're not. Yep. Or they need to go raise rents for the next the leasing cycle. It's an unfortunate situation. If I get a call from my property manager, that is an immediate oh shit. Because you generally set a maintenance cap on your property. And anytime my property manager is calling me, it means that we've gone above that maintenance cap. If I get a call from my property manager, it means it's a 4-digit problem. So for that reason, the best way I can describe a property manager is a cop at that point. Nobody's happy to deal with a cop. It's always going to be the worst part of their day. Like there's no scenario where that's not the case where a cop is involved and you're happy. So for all those reasons, it's a really hard job. People see that, a property manager makes 10, 12, 15%, and they're like, oh my God, it's such a huge cost. The amount of work they do is so high, and the level of difficulty on the work they do is also really high.
Yeah.
It might be easier on higher end properties to just kind of collect rent on a monthly basis, but particularly in the low end places, if you can get on a 10% or something like that, that is some of the best money you can spend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
I've never had any issue with the fee that a property manager has ever charged me. Like, I've seen as high as 12, as low as 8, but every penny was worth it. And
oh, yeah.
I completely understand, but that's just because of my experience just within the investing industry. I know what happens behind the scenes, and I know they're not just sitting there just collecting rent and taking their piece. They're handling a lot of stuff, but yeah, I've never blinked an eye at what they charge. I think they deserve it all.
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, you hope it's like that, right? I mean, you hope it's they're just sitting there collecting the rent, and they're kind of like your financial advisor. They're managing your portfolio and dealing with anything that comes up and stupid calls like changing light bulbs and stuff like that. They're the ones who have to tell them, like, hey, go to the grocery store, buy a light bulb. This is your responsibility.
Which should be in their lease, probably.
Which should be, yeah. But people still call, and they'll call at 8 o'clock at night. And it's like,
it's either late at night or early morning.
Oh, yeah.
And it's anywhere from that to like, basement's flooding, and it's a major thing. So. Well,
and you want a property manager that's able to differentiate between that. And
yes, that's one thing.
Yes, sit there and act as your advocate. But they're in a two-sided marketplace. They also have to defend the tenant because there are so many cheap landlords out there who. It's just 4 inches of water in the basement. Oh, come on. Wear some high heels. They'll be fine.
It rained a lot. It'll go away.
Yeah.
It'll dry.
Yeah. How are they sure it's mold? It's a very tough job. They earn every single penny. I think it's one of the most valuable members of your team, particularly after the point of buying your first property. Leading up to it, I would say your agent's probably your MVP.
Once you
own that first property, once you have that rental, that
it's got to be in good hands.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. A good property manager is worth their weight in gold. Now, if you guys are open to it, I'll tell some stories about.
I'm open to it.
Some less than good property managers. We've alluded to it in the past. I'm the clown that has been robbed of six figures multiple times by property managers. I have worked with so many property managers here in Indianapolis. I'm not going to give names here today of the ones who I'm going to be less than complimentary of because I might still be in legal proceedings. But I'll tell you guys some of the things that happened to me so that it gives you the context of how to protect yourself moving forward. So first and foremost, I had my first property manager. I bought a turnkey. Apparently the GoPro has decided it's done.
It's all good.
But I worked with this property manager. I bought a turnkey. They actually were the turnkey provider, and they also like two different arms of the company. And you know what? They were slow to respond. They weren't a very good turnkey operator. But in the grand scheme of things, they were not the worst property manager I've ever had. I had an eviction. People, they had the wrong people in place in that company. But in the grand scheme of things, I ended up moving. I moved to an agent that was here in Indianapolis that wanted to start a property management company. And so many young agents want to start a property management company because when you're an agent, only make money when you transact. But when you're a property manager, it's almost like a salary.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, but it's a salary and you have consistent income coming in on a regular basis. And this guy was kind of one of the hot young agents. He was doing really well. He actually was wildly helpful for me in order to grow my portfolio. And he started a property management company. So I moved over and began working with him and was quite happy to do so because, I got somebody who was responsive, who wanted to help me grow my portfolio. There was accountability because he was going to help me buy it, and then he was going to have to manage it on the back end. There were so many good things. And you know what? I shouted from the rooftops that this guy was amazing. He grew so fast. I think he grew to like 200 doors over the course of like a year.
You've probably heard this theme that this has been brought up in the cast with us.
Oh, yeah.
it's a theme.
Yeah. Fast growth is dangerous. And if you ever find a property manager that's growing very, very quickly and not necessarily getting into a position where they're hiring to support that growth, you've potentially got an issue. So that was one issue that existed. But I remember it was December 17th, 2019. I'll never forget that day. I got a call that this property manager, actually taking a step back, a couple weeks before he changed his phone number, didn't tell me. And I was biggest client. And so that was a red flag and that I should have picked up on. But then a couple weeks later, he just had some twins or something like that. And so I'm like, you know what? He's just, you know, he's stressed out. I could tell he was, things were going nuts. And he had actually just hired somebody. So I understand like hiding your phone number, because once you grow to a certain size, like it's hard to take all those calls yourself.
Yeah.
I certainly don't put my phone number on the internet anymore.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, you know, I didn't freak out, but December 17th, 2019, I got a call that, this individual had gambled away all of the security deposits that he was holding for all those 200 doors, all of the rents for December, and most of, from what I understand. On top of that, we later uncovered that he had falsified maintenance records. And essentially, so when a property manager has a certain amount that they're allowed to charge on a monthly basis without having to tell you, it's usually in the contract. Most times it's like $500 in that ballpark.
They just bill you, right?
Yeah. They'll just subtract it from what they pay you at the end of the month. And so what we later found out is he had made up a company and was creating false invoices to lower what he owed us on a regular basis. Real class act. And so that was a bad one. And we are still in active litigation because and he was kind of between two brokerages for one of the major franchises that you guys are very familiar with. Everybody listening to this has heard of one of these franchises. Nobody was willing to take net on this. We've ended up settling. There were a couple of red flags there. I'll circle back to what those red flags were and some of the ways you can protect yourself. I ended up moving to somebody else, and this person ended up taking in quite a few of the doors that this individual had dropped, the second property manager, the one that had just robbed us through gambling. He grew very, very quickly. It was over the holidays. I am so incredibly appreciative of this individual for helping to stabilize a lot of people's portfolios, but he grew too fast. Again, very quickly, didn't hire up, had the wrong people, bad communication. And so it didn't end up with me there. Like, I have no ill will for this individual. I wasn't the right fit. For especially because I had such a damaged portfolio at this point because my property manager had done such a bad job of working with the tenants to get good tenants in place. So ended up moving on from that property manager to another one. I learned something with this next property.
How many property managers, like, was this like a couple of years or was this within 1 year?
So it was like December. I told you December, that one guy, 2019. It was probably 8 to 10 months later. I moved on from the one right after that.
Okay.
I tried to give it a shot. Maybe it was a year in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to give grace. Like, this person inherited a mess.
Yeah.
But poor communication is a red flag for me.
It's a deal killer.
Yeah. Especially when I've been robbed, like poor communication, I'm particularly sensitive to. But you know, I had just taken a six-figure hit through all my security deposits, multiple months of rent that I was responsible for. And you know, the craziest thing, I had to pay taxes on this money when I hadn't actually received it. I was so mad at my tax professional that year. Because it was reported as rent that had been paid, and I had to assume the tenants had paid it. I had to receive as income.
That's tough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I had to pay taxes on income and that I didn't receive. And then COVID happened right after, which was its own mess. And so another reason why I gave my property manager a lot of grace
COVID, like it was so hard on property managers.
Yeah. So ended up moving on to another individual. Little did I know that, you know, this was another hot property manager that grew very quickly, and this team did an incredible job of growing. They were the best property manager I think I'd worked with. Oh, actually, it's not even close. They were the best I'd worked with by that point. They were absolutely incredible, but it's a hard business, and they got burnt out in that business and ended up selling off parts of their portfolio. Did not know that that was something you could do as a property manager. They can essentially sell off divisions of their business, which are like chunks of doors, to other property managers who are willing to sell a multiple of income on that to essentially get that recurring income we were talking about earlier. My portion got sold. I was not amenable to my portion of that portfolio getting sold, and told them to shove it in the nicest way possible and that I would find a new PM. I probably should have stayed with the one they sold me to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But like, I mean, that one's not, the one I would have been sold to wasn't good, but I ended up finding another property manager who, instead of gambling it away, decided to put it up the nose. There was a difference, though. You know, I got robbed for six figures again. Only guy I know that's been robbed.
At this point, you're probably thinking, like, what?
I almost, like, yeah.
What is going on here?
So
is this just me? Is this a trick?
Am I the problem? Do I just look like a mark? And so got robbed. The difference in this scenario is this wasn't a franchise that was holding the license, managing it. This was a local, reputable guy, a managing broker, who put his name on the door. And there was a big difference there. He put his name on the door, and you know what he said is, you know, Nick, help me get to the bottom of this, and I will make it. And you know what? Marty Matlock, that's the only name I'm going to share here of the property managers I've used up to this point. Marty Matlock made us all. Marty and his son Bo made us all.
And just to be clear, it wasn't Marty. It was the property manager that was working under for him, Marty's company.
Yeah, great clarification. Yeah, so Marty backfilled this individual who put it all up his nose, and was just an absolute stand up guy. And for that reason, like, I have, there's so many property managers who I'll now recommend: Key Renter North, Live Indy, Intrigue. They're all absolutely incredible PMs who are incredible people. But until Marty decides he wants to retire or decides to rob me of six figures, Marty has my business, like, no questions asked, because of all that. So there are a couple of things that I want people to hear. One, communication is key. Anybody who's not willing to communicate with you isn't your person. Now, if you want to talk about your property every single day, that's probably unreasonable.
Sometimes it's the investor's fault.
Yeah, sometimes it is. I was managing a portfolio of 60 doors that were in a stage of disarray. And so my expectation was that we would talk once a week. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you right now, again, still have a similar number of doors, but it's pretty stabilized from my perspective. I talk once a month to my property manager unless he calls me. And that's fantastic.
If you want to talk every day, you need somebody who's managing. You probably just need to hire somebody to manage the door. Yes,
100%. So communication's key. Work with a brokerage where you can figure out who the managing broker is and make sure that they're on top of things. Somebody who's willing to be accountable for the people who are working underneath them. And number three, make sure that those numbers are checked on a regular basis. You don't have the right as an owner to see the bank account of the property manager, but you want to make sure that that's being audited either by a managing broker or by some third-party accounting firm who is taking a look at that. And you want to make sure that that's something that you have visibility or at least contact with the people who are checking the numbers. Because just because the property management software says that they have $100,000 in the bank,
they can move that money.
Well, it doesn't mean it exists there. Yeah, like, it doesn't actually have to reconcile for you to get paid on a monthly basis. And if they're growing very quickly, it very well could be a Ponzi scheme of using somebody else's security deposit to do that. So those are some of the things that I recommend when thinking about who you're going to work with. Talk to local investors. If they're the hot name, run the other direction, and make sure that they've been here for a while.
Yeah, not like if they're the hot name, like, make sure that, like you just said, they haven't been doing 200 doors just for a year. They've been doing it for 6+ years, 7 years, whatever it is, just like more like less than an overnight type of thing. So that's for sure.
I wouldn't jump on the hottest name, but I think there's a way to do it in terms of, like, as long as they're growing the right way.
I agree.
Yes, you can go that way, but it's just one of those things. Your red flags or your alarm should go up when somebody's growing exponentially fast. You just kind of have to make sure that they're right. Check in and be like, hey, are you guys hiring new people to, like, split up some of these doors?
Yeah,
or you just have one person.
I would just ask
still.
Questions about their team. Like, what's their team look like? If they're managing that many doors.
Is your team?
And they say, it's just me and my wife.
Because it can be done correctly.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah,
Is it hard to do? Yes, but it's.
But it's, if it's going to be done efficiently, if you're working with a lot of people in state, out of state, and it's a mom and pop shop doing 300 doors a month, that
It's unlikely.
Yeah, it's unlikely that they're doing everything the right way.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, there's a right way to grow it. So there's a good way to, like, check in. All right, how are I realize you're probably, how many doors are we at now? Like, brought somebody else on to help out with that, or?
Yeah.
Are you feeling? It's good to just check in with them sometimes too.
100%. Yeah. So. I think I've always tried to be friends, have good relationships with the people, the market that I'm working. And yeah, I think being able to have a heart to heart, with that individual, take them out for a drink, say like, how's it actually going? How you doing? Are you scaling? What are your plans around this? Help. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody who's listening here to this conversation probably has something to add to, you know, the market company that they're working with. So that's kind of my story. Any other horror stories that you guys have heard, or lessons that the people here can take away?
No, I mean, I haven't had any, fortunately, I haven't had anything near your experience, Nick. I'm sure you've probably had worse experience than myself, but you guys have more doors than me, so that makes sense. But no, I mean, when I picked my property managers, I went by strictly referral. I asked around, I asked who was happy with their property manager, what their, you know, who it was, and just had a conversation with them. Didn't commit to anybody. I just want to have a conversation with them to see if like we were on the same level as expectations, and how they operate. And that's how I picked my, you know, the person that I used. And it just having a simple conversation goes a long way. I visited their office. I saw their team. I saw like, okay, this is legitimate. Like they're doing everything right. They had the maintenance in place. They had, you know, multiple leasing agents. They were really good at handling evictions. So I was like, I was kind of sold on that. I just basically want to see experience on paper and in person. And if that all checks my boxes, I move forward.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea too. Something I didn't think about is visiting the office and actually seeing, I mean, a lot of people probably do a lot of remote workers.
Yeah.
I mean, at least if you can visit them and have a conversation with them and see on paper, like how the team is broken down, like have four property managers underneath your property manager. This person handles 200 doors. This person handles 100 doors, whatever it is. But yeah, I guess I haven't really had a horror story. I've had the same person, one of the people Nick used, he said that he didn't have no bad experience or anything like that, but they just sold portion of their portfolio, their company, and mine happened to be a part of it. Luckily, I was only with them for like a month, so not a big deal. And that happened to me probably two more times. In hindsight, looking back, it was probably good that it happened the other two times, just because the company that I was using that sold was one of those companies that grew too fast, and I could kind of see that a couple of my turns that were happening that were taking a little longer than they usually do, and just stuff was said that it was done and it wasn't done, and then you go there. I mean, luckily they had it done within a couple of days afterwards, but small stuff like that. Luckily, I'm local. I drive by it if I'm.
But that's not something that these out-of-state investors can do.
It's not something
they'd have to take their word for it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's so. Yeah.
But so I got lucky, and luckily he saw the writing on the wall that he was just couldn't keep up anymore.
Yeah.
Good.
So and if to this ever, day, good guy. Yeah. I mean, would recommend him if he was handling 200 doors. Like good property manager, just didn't have the staffing and couldn't grow.
I'd love to touch on that really quick. It's still your property, even though they're property managing it. If there's a tenant in place, you don't have a right to go into that home without, you know, whatever the stipulations of the lease are. But if that's a vacant property, don't feel beholden to your property manager. Go get somebody to check it out. If you have any inkling that you're unhappy with what's happening, go and take ownership of that situation. Call somebody like Steve. Call a contractor. Call a handyman to go and take a look on your behalf. And if you find any dishonesty, there's a difference between misinformation and dishonesty.
Oh, for sure.
And like everybody screws up. I guarantee 100% that I have accidentally lied to somebody today within the construction. Like,
well, how many times have you had somebody go out and say, yeah, we did it, but you haven't seen it?
Yeah.
And then you tell them, like, yeah, it's done. And
oh, it happens.
I can see it. Like, it's, yeah. I can see how it happens.
But if there's a pattern of dishonesty,
mm-hmm.
find somebody else.
Yeah. Because it won't end.
There's plenty.
It'll get worse.
Yeah. There's plenty. There are plenty of property managers out there. I listed a couple. I think there are tons who are doing incredible work, who are trying their damnedest every single day. The ones I tend to recommend, I'll reiterate. You've got like Key Renter, Matlock, obviously, Intrigue, Live Indy. I know they've had some issues, but they seem to really be working their hardest to get all of those resolved. Are you guys familiar with any others that are really crushing it out there?
Yeah, like I said, I had a great experience with mine was Polario. So one thing I liked about them is that they really expand across really central Indiana. They're not just Indianapolis focused. So if you had properties, 45 minutes away from Indy, like they could still handle.
Mm.
And I use Matlock as well. I've got my portfolio and stuff. But I mean, I would say one of the companies that I got sold to never really gave them a chance. They didn't do anything wrong by any means, but it was PMI Midwest. I don't know a ton about them. I'm not going to bash them or anything like that. I've heard a couple of people use them. Nobody's come out to me and said anything crazy.
I've used them before.
It's just one of those that not a good fit, or I found that's not. Was sold to them and found the person that.
That's fair. Yeah. I'll actually say another one that I've heard good things about. They're one of the cheapest here in Indy. You tend to get what you pay for. So you're gonna get the lower end of the performance and the amount of work that goes into it. But City Place is one who one of my business partners, Brett, he has a couple of doors with them.
I've heard good things about them too.
Yeah. I mean, they're slow to respond. They're on a per door basis. I want to say they're $69 a door. I could be off on that, so don't quote me on that number, but I believe it's a just a dollar per door situation. So particularly if you've got higher end doors, that could be pretty good rent to value there from that perspective. The one thing I'd love to also touch on here real quick, guys, is short-term rent. I don't know if you guys have had much experience in that world.
That's your expertise.
Everything I've said here, everything I've said here is, I think, pertains to that side of things, with the exception of the regulation. Yeah. Short-term rental managers aren't required to do that. What I will say is, you're not going to pay 8 to 12% on a short-term rental manager. If they're trying to charge you 8 to 12%, you're going to get 8 to 12% of work. The is so much higher on a short-term rental management. The way I describe it is, I self-manage a couple of my short-term rentals. I actually am helping a couple of people out with theirs as well and managing theirs. Is on the long-term side, you are an ass kick. Somebody doesn't pay rent, you get to kick them out the door. You get to go victim. On the short-term rental side, you have to be an ass kisser. You're in the hospitality business, and they have the power, because them giving you a 4-star review means you have failed.
I'm sure anyone who's stayed in an Airbnb knows what that's like. Like, you get texts daily from the host or the manager making sure that, hey, is everything good? Do you need anything? I stop by the store, get you something. Like, that's the 5-star service.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I think one of the best trainings in hospitality is Hilton, believe or marry that one. When I was like coming out of college, I mean, and for good reason, you're basically a hotel manager at that point.
Yeah.
As a short
term
manager.
And there are ways to automate it. There are a variety of things that a good property manager is going to do in that situation. They're going to pull you into their system. They're going to have great maintenance, because maintenance and cleaning are like the most important things, and holding the maintenance and cleaning accountable are the most important things within a short term side. And then over communication, automation, over communication.
Oh, yeah.
Like you were saying, hey, you get daily texts. Hey, hope check-in went well.
Yeah.
You know, and like for an example, of the ass kisser side of things, we had a client. We specifically said, don't lock the handle. You're going to lock yourself out. Like, we multiple times said that. We've since replaced the handle.
So I was going to say, just replace the handle.
But it happened twice that somebody locked it and locked themselves out of the place because we got the automated deadbolt or whatever. Yeah. And despite us telling multiple times, the first time we were able to get somebody out there in 15 minutes and like, all right, fine. Like,
yeah.
They jimmied it open, got it. Not a problem. The second time it was like 3 hours before we were going to be able to get somebody out there. And despite the fact that they locked themselves out, we told them not to do it. They admitted, they're like, I told my daughter not to do it. We locked ourselves out. I still gave them $50 back on their booking because that's the right thing to do in that scenario, because the 5-star review is what you're aiming for.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't get a 5-star review, you have failed.
People think the goal, obviously the goal is to have people stay there so you make money. The goal is to get the reviews.
Yeah.
Because then you get boosted.
100%.
You know? And you're the everyone's first click when they're looking for an Airbnb in Indy.
Which kind of sucks, but.
Oh, it totally
that's
sucks.
That's
the way it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, they steal your stuff and you still have to just kind of take it.
Airbnb and like VO or whoever is the other major players here on Indy don't have them anymore. That's just the way it's going to get.
Yep. 100%. So for that reason, you're going to pay a whole lot more because instead of having one turnover every year or one turnover every 3 years, you have a turnover every 2 days, every 3 days. What you're looking for in a short-term rental manager is somebody who's got that hospitality, good at systems. If they're not good at systems, you're not the right person there because they have to turn that place so quickly so that it's available for the next guest so that they're able to get that 5-star review. And then on top of that, you're looking for somebody who is going to go above and beyond for these guests, who's going to go and they might deliver the a gift basket. They might, in a situation where they can get a maintenance guy out there in 2 or 3 hours, they might still be willing to give money back. And you have to be willing to be hands off in that scenario.
Yeah.
I will say that that's going to be like one of the biggest factors is like when the short-term rental manager is operating in the moment, give them grace to do what they need to do. I would say that that's one of the biggest pieces of advice I have.
They've got more experience than
yes. With that said, I still recommend that you be the host of your properties and turn off notifications so that you're not looking at the messages or anything like that. Turn all that stuff off and give them the co-host status. And the reason I say that is one of the biggest assets that you have as a short-term rental manager are those 5-star reviews, is that credibility. And let's say you've got the wrong host in place or the wrong short-term rental manager in place. You want to be able to move with that credibility already built up. Now, there might be situations where you want to blow it out anyway because they've done such a bad job. But hey, I've had multiple short-term rental managers who've worked for me could just go out of business because it's so hard and just decide they don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have that asset of the property and all the views that we've built up.
That's a good idea. I haven't thought about that. We haven't even talked about that. It was just making that. Are PMs or short-term PMs willing to do that, or are some of them pretty resistant? And
The big boys are going to be resistant to doing that, and mostly because they're afraid of the investor
screwing
over. Messaging or like looking over their shoulder or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, it took you 17 minutes to get back to that response. Like, what's going on? Well, it was 1:13 in the morning and stuff like that. So I would be hesitant if I thought somebody was going to be an anal to manage their property that they were able to see all of that stuff on a basis, because there might be times where I'm a hard ass and I don't want to be questioned. Trust me in that moment and let's look at the reviews at the end of the month. Let's look at the income at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Additionally, you want to make sure that they're using. There's so much tech available on the short-term side. You anybody who is manually changing their pricing on a regular basis is the wrong property on the short term.
I think you've said this before. Do you just let Airbnb do dynamic pricing?
I don't.
Another company.
There are a couple of different pieces of software that I personally use and that I use to manage both for the wilds and then couple of people who are working with. One of the adjustable pricing that I use is Price Labs. Fantastic tool. It actually now has the ability to do market research as well, which is pretty darn cool.
Feel pretty
So it'll just set your price for you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can set up a variety of criteria. Like, there are guardrails and stuff that you're able to put in, and there's so much input that goes into it. And it's not as simple as just, like, connecting it and saying, yeah, I'm hands off. Anybody who does that, again, is abdicating responsibility.
Yeah.
You have to go in there. You have to manage it on a regular basis. I have a reminder to go in it and make sure that I'm looking at it. So that's one piece. Guesty for Hosts is the software that we use to manage all the bookings. It, you know, allows us to book on and off platform on Airbnb, which is pretty darn cool. And it also now has a pricing tool. I haven't tried it. I'm sold on Price Labs, and I'm not. Yeah. I've got my rules are so like tightly like in there. I'm not touching it at this point. Yeah, there are several products out there that are specifically designed to optimize your listing and make sure that it's putting its best foot forward. And so that's something that you want to make sure that your property manager is on a regular basis. The other thing, get professional photos of those things. If it's done on an iPhone, you are doing it. You want to be using one of these like Sony, you know, mirrorless, like super expensive cameras, because as good as your iPhone camera is, it's not as good as the dedicated.
Yeah, someone could book your Airbnb based off the photos, and maybe the other one that they're considering had less quality photos, maybe it would have been nicer in person, but they couldn't see that mm-hmm. because of the bad photos. Mm-hmm. So they booked yours.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't know what they missed.
People book based on those photos.
Yeah. I would also say that, so for example, my wife and I and a couple friends went down to Lexington, Kentucky. Probably the first time, well, maybe not the first, but the first time in a long time, we rented an Airbnb, showed up there, and we were even more impressed in person than we were by the photos, which never happens.
Right.
I mean, usually with Airbnb, you get there, like, man, this looked awesome in the pictures. Actually got there, and I don't think it was anything, the pictures were bad,
it was just an awesome Airbnb.
Yeah, it was, but I mean, I wonder if there's a side of this where it's like, can you overdo the pictures to make it look people are let down.
Oh yeah,
to get there 100%. And then
yeah. No, don't lie in your photos.
Yeah,
don't like put that.
Don't put a picture of a pool that's full of water and then you get there and it's empty.
Yeah,
yeah. Don't do like the ultra wide. This room looks humongous and it's tiny.
Yeah, but put the best foot forward. Be honest about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It follows the same rules of like if you're listing a property for sale, like
they're gonna be disappointed when they walk in there.
Sometimes, but sometimes the photos are great quality and tell the actual story of what this house looks like.
It gets the person to the
property,
which is good. Yeah, I mean, I would say circling to the long-term management stuff, and like we were talking about before, if you want to be completely hands-off, there are property managers that you can review and improve that experience, but you have to determine how involved, like Nick wanted to do once a week for a while. Now he's once a month. If you want to do once a day, good luck to you. You might as well just run it yourself, or hire somebody over their shoulder. But yeah, I mean, you have to find out the best fit is for you for sure. And somebody like Nick and I were very similar in the sense that I don't want somebody calling me for it's got to be 4 digits and up. For just take care. We're gonna have to take care of it with this. And we've got a relationship with our manager now that like they know what the issues that to be taken care of in a way that they can just. And they're really saying like, this is on you.
Yeah,
like, enough experience now. So you need, and sometimes you need to. Property manager and say here are the things we need to delve with. You just need to tell them, because I've had property managers before actually charge to go out and do like some of the issues very very much to tell. In hindsight, they need to tell whoever the tenant is to take care of. It's their responsibility, or it's so minor, just need to tell them, all right, here's how you fix it. Easy. It's not something somebody needs to come out for. Circuit breaker stuff. Like stuff that people might not know, but it's really easy.
I was just going to say that now, you know, Off-Leash Construction's running maintenance for about 1,500 doors across Indianapolis. And the number of times we get sent out for circuit breaker type stuff or tried using a plunger is, and like, it's silly in a lot of those situations because we're going to charge. Like, if we have to send an electrician out there, it's not going to be cheap. It's going to be $150 for the first hour. You know, because of drive time and all
there's
that stuff.
There's just a trip charge there. Yeah.
If we're going to send a plumber out there, it's going to be, you know, $130 for the first, like, it's all that stuff when a property manager should be troubleshooting on your behalf. So I think you're totally right to want to push back on them.
And you'll learn as you go. I mean, you'll learn the stuff that you're just like, I just get charged. Some companies are like $99 per visit, no matter what, or whatever it is. Like, I just get charged this for. Like I say, like a light bulb being changed. And they say, well, okay, did we tell them how to change the light bulb? And they say, no, that's a conversation you need to have. As we have my 14-year-old dancing.
We got a streaker.
Any other things that you can hit on for property management side? As you said, Nick is not maintenance for a ton of this now, so it's, I mean, you know, that's not how annoying this can be. Have a little empathy for your property managers too.
Yeah, it's a hard job. Man, I have more sympathy, more empathy for what they put up with on a daily basis than ever before. So yeah, I think the one takeaway that I think people should have is I run a maintenance, like I run a construction company. I still have a chair on my stuff because it is such a hard job and it's such a low upside type of thing for me to do that I'm not willing to pinch pennies. I'm still willing to pay a property manager to manage my properties and then call me to do the maintenance on it so that I don't have to deal with the tenant, that they don't have to know I'm the owner, like all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to do that. That is some of the best money I spend on a daily basis. So I hope that's what people take away from this.
Yeah. Property manager, I would pay more. Like for property manager, they're worth their weight in gold.
Yeah.
Because they can really amplify your portfolio and more percentage wise if they do it correctly.
Yep. Make sure the books are checked, know the managing broker, and if they're not communicating, run the.
Yeah. Just do your normal due diligence, man.
That's, yeah.
Normal due diligence, flags, shouldn't say red flags, sensors going up when you're seeing their name recommended everywhere. Do some homework.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure they're growing properly, whatever you think that looks like. So,
awesome.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think we've tapped it out.
Cool. That's another edition of the Indie Investor Speakeasy. If there's anything else if there's something else that you want us to talk on, touch on, shoot us a comment, shoot us a text message, shoot us an email, or a DM on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. We're more happy to go over it. So any ideas is welcome. And we'll have a couple more guests on. If you want us to go outside the indie market, if there's a market that you want us to bring somebody, let us know. So
sweet.
Thanks guys.
Thanks.